This is the Goalkeepers Union podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Between the Sticks, me, Matt Beadle, here with the relocating voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Good morning, Matthew. How the devil?
I'm okay, mate. I'm okay. You've kept me waiting for quite a while. So, you know, I've been up for a few hours.
True. So this is going to be short and sharp because of that. Is that right?
This is going to, unfortunately, yes, be short and sharp because, you know, you've moved the goalposts, as some goalkeepers do.
True. I have got a very annoyingly busy day of moving. And I thought, do I tell people about it? But it's probably one of the most boring subjects. And there is just so much to sort when you're moving house. I forgot how annoying it is moving house. And I keep thinking every time I do it, just make sure it's for a little bit longer this time. Because, yeah, essentially this is, I actually worked this out the other day. I think I've lived in 14 different places. That's quite a lot, isn't it?
That is a lot, yeah. How can you be bothered to do all that moving?
Well, that's since the age of 18. So obviously when I was a kid, it was different. But yeah, since the age of 18. So in 22 years, I've lived in 14 different places. So I should be used to it by now, but I'm not. So yes, apologies. I am running late and it will be short and sharp because of that. So I'll hold my hands up. But also there is another reason, isn't there, Matthew?
For the short and sharpness?
Yeah. Somebody's got birthday plans. Oh. Somebody is 46 years old today. So happy birthday, Matthew Beadle.
Yes, thank you. You tend not to celebrate them when you get to this age, which is not 46, by the way, for anyone listening. But yes, it is my birthday too. And the other half has made plans, so I have to adhere to them. Otherwise, she would be very angry. And, you know, we're doing it a bit later. I didn't even know that you were moving, by the way.
No, I know. I forgot to tell you that until this morning when I was in the midst of it. And by all means, do like any anger towards you from her in regards to you being late for your plans today, just redirect it my way. It's absolutely fine.
On with the show.
Let's do it.
So we are going to start at the Emirates yet again. We're not going to do this for every pod from here on in, but the Rea Ramsdale debate does indeed rumble on. And we're only a week on from when all of this started. Now, since then, since we recorded last, David Rea has played in the previous three games for Arsenal. Where do you, Richard, before we get into everything else about the game, where do you currently stand on this position a week on?
Yeah, well, he's played three games. Obviously, one of them was a cup game, obviously in Europe, and then the two league games. So it looks like it's his shirt. You know, whether we're obviously seeing a different strategy at Brighton where they are back and forth seemingly. But no, it does look like it's his shirt for now. I mean, you kind of wondered him coming in, obviously, whether he is the succession plan. We've said it the whole time that, well, certainly I've said it the whole time, this won't be a long-term situation. But at the moment, I just don't know where Aaron Ramsdale gets his next game, really, from the way that it looks. Now, I say that and whether they'll throw a surprise and throw him in for the next game. But I thought David Rea, he's had three games, three very good games, in fairness. So, and that's not to say that Aaron Ramsdale did poorly in his games, because I thought he was very good as well. So it's pretty much where we were last week, except obviously a couple more games for David Rea, and it certainly doesn't look like being a change.
Let's quickly touch on Rea's performance in the game first. There was the save, excellent save from Brennan Johnson, and then the goal, the equaliser from Heung-min Son. Now, some suggested he might have been at fault for palming the cross back into play. What did you make of that one?
No, I had no issue with that at all. I know Gary Neville made a point, oh, we could do a bit more with that, but it's across to the back post. You can't catch it. So what do you do? Now, it's difficult because in a perfect world, you'd possibly help it on for a corner, but it's not as easy as that in terms of the shape of your hand, reaching back over your head to kind of get fingertips to take it that way. So I don't really mind what he did. I think that's almost standard play, back post, reach in, left hand, and just flick it away. And it's still away from danger. It's back in play, but it is away from danger. And there is another phase of play after. Actually makes a really good save straight away after that. So, no, I had no issue with that. I think if he had that situation again, I think most goalkeepers do what he did in that situation. And then, of course, you're just hoping from a little bit of help from the defence.
There was this notorious, I'm going to call it, applause from Ramsdale during the game, wasn't there too, from the save that David Rea made from Brennan Johnson. Now, Gary Neville, I think on commentary, said that he might have been a good actor. Jamie Carragher later said that it was like something from the Oscars when an actor who doesn't win the award applauds the other actor who goes up to collect the award. That actually prompted Nick Ramsdale, Aaron's dad, to label Carragher a disgrace on Twitter. I have to say that I'm somewhere in the middle here. I'm a bit with Neville and Carragher, not to the extent that they articulated it, but I do feel that maybe it's just a little bit forced.
No, look, first and foremost, not that I know Aaron Ramsdale particularly well, but what I do know is he's a really, really good lad. So I actually do think, yeah, he won't necessarily, as much as he'll need possibly David Raya to have a slip or something to happen for him to get his chance, I don't think he's the type of lad that would wish ill on anyone else. So I do think it was genuine. I do wonder whether he would have said anything to his dad after seeing that tweet. And the only reason I say that is I had exactly the same situation with my dad. And I had to have words with him. And then in fairness to him, never again did he ever kind of go above his station. Because it's a tricky one. Like, you can't win if you're around. They kept panning to him so many times during the game, you know, so whether it's a great save or something, they're always flicking around to Aaron Ramsdale. So what reaction do you give in that moment? He's applauded it, and it was a fantastic save. I mean, just to talk about the save for a second, you know, moved his feet so quickly, front post back to the middle, the angle of his dive was spot on to get his hand there. Just a brilliant save. So I do think it was genuine, and at the same time, I think Neville and Carragher, it's more banter than anything, because it is, of course, as a goalkeeper, it's a tricky situation. If you're a number two, you know that if the number one is doing well, and as it stands, it looks like Aaron Ramsdale was the two. We might be wrong, but it looks that way. How do you react? You know, do you then look all sulky? He's not that type of character. He is a good lad. He's got a good attitude towards what he does. And I think in that moment, he was pleased for David. But of course, you know, his own situation is separate to that.
Yeah, I think it was genuine too, by the way. And Aaron Ramsdale clearly is a top guy. But I just, yeah, there's been elements around all of this. And of course, the camera is on him all the time. But even before the game last weekend, when Arsenal put out that tweet prior to the game with Raya and Ramsdale in this big embrace and the GK Union, it's like, like, come on, guys. We all know what the situation is. And fair play to Alan Smith before the game at the weekend too for pressing Mikel Arteta on the situation and saying, so is this something that you are going to be doing game by game? And Arteta said yes. It absolutely is. So it's going to be interesting, isn't it? Because Raya has played the previous three games. If he continues to be the number one, has Arteta just been fooling us, just been lying this whole time that he's not going to interchange the goalkeepers, which, by the way, Roberto De Zerbi absolutely is at Brighton, and no one's talking about it. So Bart Verbruggen was back in for Brighton at the weekend. De Zerbi did say when he first made the change that it was going to be interchangeable, that it was going to be 50-50 between Steele and Verbruggen. Verbruggen back in at the weekend, at fault for the first goal too. They did end up winning that game, of course, against Bournemouth 3-1. But no one's talking about this. It's actually happening right before our eyes. The exact thing that everyone's worried about Mikel Arteta doing at Arsenal, Roberto De Zerbi is doing at Brighton, but no one's talking about it.
Yeah, it's true. And look, the only reason is, and this is again, greatest respect to Brighton, who, by the way, are absolutely flying, is that Arsenal's a bigger profile club. And I guess, you know, in terms of selling Colm Inches and being of interest to, I suppose, a larger amount of people, Arsenal is that much more interesting. But it is. It's exactly the same situation. And actually, De Zerbi is sticking to his word, I guess, in that they are in and out. Now, again, it will be really interesting to see if it works or not, because I've said it before, when you do step in, like Verbruggen's done, and you haven't played for a couple of weeks, you're having to get up to speed with the game. Again, you're seeing different pictures. It's very different to training, very different to any bounce games that you might play in training. So then are you up to speed straight away? And look, he did make a mistake. Was that because of that? Was that because he hasn't got that sort of continuity and you're not playing once, twice a week as you ordinarily would as a number one? So I guess it's just another situation that we're only going to know in time whether this idea behind goalkeeping, which, you know, I've seen a couple of articles this morning in terms of how goalkeeping's changing and even the culture that sits behind goalkeepers is changing. We're only going to see in time whether it works. Again, and I know I said this last week, I'm still a bit old school. I still go back to the idea of having your one and two, and I just think that works better, but I'm more than happy to be proven wrong.
And finally, just on this, if you are Aaron Ramsdale, and by the way, whoever gets him for the next podcast, that's going to be one heck of a listen when he explains this situation and how he feels about this situation, or indeed felt about this situation, if he does potentially move on in January, because the rumour mill is now in overdrive. But if you are Aaron Ramsdale, let's strip this back. So what? a little more than two seasons ago. His stock is off the back of two relegations with Bournemouth and then Sheffield United. Still a very good goalkeeper, still highly rated. But his stock isn't as high as it is now, of course. He then has the two seasons so far at Arsenal. He's been brilliant. He's loved by the fans. Great relationship with his defence, PFA team of the season, etc., etc. And suddenly, out of nowhere, his life has been flipped 180. He sat on the bench. The camera, like you say, is constantly on him on the bench as opposed to on the pitch doing all of his antics that we've spoken about on numerous occasions. Goalkeepers are coming out. So Bernd Leno came out this week, said that he does not agree with it. Matt Turner was interviewed, two former Arsenal goalkeepers, of course. He said that he didn't necessarily think that it was the best decision, was quite diplomatic in his response in that interview. Peter Schmeichel, on the flip side, vehemently against it. So most of the people within the goalkeeping world don't think that this is the best tactic for Mikel Arteta to use. And I would imagine, despite everything that we're seeing from Ramsdale, he probably agrees with that.
Well, no, and largely it's because it then puts additional pressure on both. Because now every action that David Raya is making, which in fairness, they have been on the whole very good, so he's been fine, but every action is being scrutinised. And similarly, Aaron Ramsdale's under the spotlight, and it has created extra publicity, I guess, because of the whole situation. And again, if you are on Ramsdale, look, there's lots of different ways to look at it. I think on one way, what you've just said there is bang on. Actually, his stock is so high right now, from when he joined to where he is now. If someone had said to him when he joined, this is the position you're going to be in at this point, he probably takes it for the fact that it's been such a good couple of years. The question now, and again, being a goalkeeper, a footballer, it's forever flexible, it's forever moving. It's what is the next step? Do you stay and fight? Or at some point, do you then look to move on? Because I think with his stock being where it is, if he were to move on, he's moving on to a top, top club. Probably one of the other six, I'm sure, other top six. I've got no doubt about that. So then it's, right, is that the right move in your next step of your career? Or do you just bide your time and see how it plays out? And again, my guess is these conversations will have started already. Again, there's so much time between now and January. So much could change between now and then. But let's say that it didn't. Then, of course, that needs to be a conversation, given that no doubt, you know, he wants to be that England number one. And while he's in the position he is, and that's probably the biggest point in all this, while he's in the position that he is, it's going to, well, it's impossible to then really challenge Pickford for that number one spot.
We should mention as well, at the other end, Guglielmo Vicario, a very good game from him. Really good save from, I think it was Gabriel Jesus, wasn't it? The half volley that he parried wide with his left hand. And the red card, well, the not red card, should it have been a red card, Eddie Nketiah, for the late lunge on Vicario in the second half?
Yeah, well, just to mention the save to his left in particular, a save that I didn't feel got enough credit at the time. You know, I think Gary Neville said something along the lines of, you know, he had to make the save or he had to do his job or whatever he said at the time. Brilliant save. Again, movement, then to go back on yourself, the flexibility. He's shown a lot of athleticism already. We've seen that in previous games. And again, this is a save. I know I say it's a lot, but not a lot of goalkeepers make that save. That's arrowing into the far top corner. It's a fantastic save. And then for me, yeah, I do think it's a red card. I think when you actually see the replay and you see the way he's so late with the lunge, and Vicario is really lucky, actually. If Vicario's foot gets stuck in the turf, he breaks his foot there. He breaks his leg. No doubt about it. So I was, yeah, he very, very lucky to get away with the yellow, I think.
Over to Stamford Bridge, where it was Chelsea 0, Aston Villa 1. And both goalkeepers here having very good games. Emi Martinez just in one of those Emi Martinez moods where nothing was beating him. Raheem Sterling denied, Nicholas Jackson denied, Ben Chilwell denied. The latter, that one from Chilwell, accompanied by a classic Emi Martinez celebration. Loved to see that. And loved to see Robert Sanchez yet again with a couple of absolutely incredible saves. The first one from Luca Dean and the second one from Ekolo Daniolo. Brilliant saves from Sanchez.
Yeah, brilliant. And do you know what? I'm really pleased for Robert Sanchez. Again, something I mentioned on the pod last week, that I just feel the narrative needs to change around him a bit, because I think he's been really, really good. Really good since he stepped in at Chelsea. You know, possibly one or two moments you can look at, but I think, bearing in mind how poorly they're playing as a team, I think he's been the standout player. And again, in this game, a couple of brilliant saves. We talk a lot about his athleticism, his power. He's got such a great shape for a goalkeeper, but two excellent saves. The second one in particular, really, really enjoyed that. And Emi Martinez just doing what Emi Martinez does. And I say this again in a real positive way, that when he makes that save down to his right from Chilwell, and it is a, again, excellent save, good position, gets down so sharp to get his right hand to it and getting around the post, it's that look of arrogance That's what I'm going to use. But in a really positive way, in a way in which we talk about, you know, I'm going to mention Peter Schmeichel. I haven't done it for a little while.
Oh, Schmeichel!
But how he had that back in the day, where you can just see, you've got that feeling about a goalkeeper that you're so confident in what they're doing and what they're offering, and opponents don't like playing against that. Your team like to have that behind you. And yeah, some top saves, the 2 one-on-one saves I thought were excellent. Just really good shape at point of impact, such a big figure. And then the save down to his right, so, so sharp. Massive clean sheet, massive win.
And just to finish up in the Premier League, Edison, random head loss from him in Man City's win over Nottingham Forest. There was a bit of head-to-head with Taiwo Awoniyi. And then Johnny Evans, the disallowed goal for Manchester United against Burnley. Right or wrong decision from your viewpoint?
Right, so predictably, I'm going to say this was the correct decision. I know you disagree with me, and that's absolutely fine. But I'm going to say it's the correct decision. More for the fact that he's impacting James Trafford before. Not necessarily that he's interfering with play once the header comes in and it kind of brushes past him, because I think at that point, James Trafford doesn't have a great deal of chance. But he was actually impacting play before that. The fact that he was essentially grappling with James Trafford, meaning that he can't come off his line to collect the cross. So he has impacted play or interfered with play. The ball then does go reasonably close to him as it goes into the goal. But for that reason, I'm saying offside. You're saying not.
No, I don't. It's not that I completely disagree with you. And I think that's the key point, is that he was impacting James Trafford before the header was made by Johnny Evans. Once Johnny Evans connects with the header, that's a goal. And the fact, for me, it's the fact that not a single Burnley player, including James Trafford, has appealed there. And that is quite telling. When the players themselves don't appeal, there's not always a case for it. But letter of the law, he was offside and interfering. And I think it's because of the action before the header as to why it was then given, or it should have been given.
Yeah. Well, I think as well, when it's offside, it's always a little bit different in that, certainly from a corner, it was a corner, wasn't it? It was whipped in, flicked on. So certainly from a corner, I guess players aren't always necessarily aware. It's almost a situation, certainly when it is a corner, that you're not thinking about offside. It's a bit different when it's a ball threaded through and you think they might be off and you're appealing. So, yeah, tricky one for me. I think it was a correct decision. Just to mention Edison, because he did had a moment, certainly. But I actually wanted to mention the save. I thought the save down to his left. Again, a save that, and he's made a few of these this season. You know, City have looked excellent, don't get me wrong, and they certainly look like they're going to be by far the strongest team in the league. Again, I'm absolutely certain of that. But he has made a couple of really key saves in games now at key moments. And again, probably similar to what I said last week, we talk about Edison a lot, distribution, what he offers the team in possession. But actually, he has got that. Like, the amount of times he makes these massive saves, and this down to his left, really difficult save, showed brilliant athleticism and power to get down. Good left hand, parries into a brilliant area. I think it might even go out for a corner from memory. But again, big saves at big moments. And he's certainly got that sort of mentality.
It is the EFL overview, and starting in the Championship, where custodians John Ruddy and Asmir Begovic showed pretty much everyone how it should be done in the Friday evening stalemate between Birmingham and QPR. Ruddy with some lovely improv to preserve a clean sheet in the second half, and Begovic with yet more one-on-one 101, keeping out Scott Hogan, among others. Max O'Leary may have been on the losing side at the King Power, but it took a Jamie Vardy penalty to beat him. The Bristol City stopper seemingly coming of age this term, as is West Brom's Alex Palmer. Set for his most productive campaign yet, boosted this weekend by a penalty save from Millwall's Zion Fleming in another goalless draw. Rotherham nabbing a point from Preston, thanks largely to Victor Johansson's 5 saves. Milutin Osmajic and Ryan Ledson both stopped by the Swede. And Ryan Alsop, introduced by Liam Rossini in midweek, as he threatened to do after the rare Ramsdale chat, in to replace Matty Ingram. He kept a clean sheet at home to Leeds and bagged a man-of-the-match performance away at Stoke on Sunday. He started the moves for 2 of Hull's 3 goals against the Potters and made excellent stops from a Syed Haksabanovic free kick and Wesley's instinctive turn and shot.
Well, there you go. Who do we start with? I think we've got to go with Ruddy and Begovic. Really enjoyed this, just for the fact you've got two such experienced goalkeepers, and again, just look so solid in everything they're doing. I know we spoke about Azmir quite a bit already on the podcast this term, and certainly John Ruddy last season. I believe he was player of the season at Birmingham, rightly so. Just so assured in everything they do, and a couple of big saves. The one from John Ruddy that's bounced, really awkward save, but what I quite liked about this was he's going back on himself, but it was the intelligence to use the trajectory of the ball and the power of the ball. So it's bounced into the ground, it's coming up, and rather than maybe just getting a hand and killing it dead, he's effectively helped it up into the air so far using the power of the ball. I just thought such an intelligent save, and that helped get it out of danger. Azmir as well, great save to his right hand side, looked like it was arrowing the corner. Big one-on-one save again, we spoke about a few of them this season. Had to mention Ryan Allsop, because I watched this game live, actually. In fact, I watched a couple of games live this weekend, but that one I watched live, and I just thought, again, with his feet, the fact that now for Hull, and this is nothing against Matt Ingram, because he's done a great job this season, last season, but I think with Ryan Allsop, where he has got that ability, very, very good in terms of playing short, bouncing off the sitting midfielder, the couple of great balls he played just on the floor, 30, 40-yard passes into that central midfield position. But then he's also got the ability to go over the top. So really difficult for defences to line up against that, in that he can effectively find any area on the pitch. And we saw this, as you say, examples for two of the goals, plus two excellent saves, big times as well. The save from the free kick just before half-time, the save late on in the game, which again, I think was 2-0 at the time, so could have changed the last 20, 25 minutes, but big, big saves. Great reaction save for the second one. Also wanted to mention Jack Anik, because I watched this game as well yesterday and thought he was very, very good. I know it's been an interesting time for him there at Cardiff, bringing in Runnison, but he's got his place back, and certainly a top performance from him. And Johansson as well, really good reflex save in particular under the bar that I wanted to mention. But again, he's really carried on from last season. You often see that where a goalkeeper has a top season, wins player of the season. Can they take it into the following season? And it's fair to say at the moment he's doing that.
New deal for Anik, and a new deal for Anthony Patterson as well. A long-term deal at Sunderland, signed until 2028.
Well, there you go. And yeah, fully deserved. I mean, there was a lot of stories and a lot of talk as to whether someone might come in for him in the summer. Obviously, didn't happen for whatever reason, but he seems like he's really settled there and very much the outright number one, and building such a big CV for such a young goalkeeper.
Into League One, where it was all about the penalties. Jay Lynch saving a pen for Fleetwood, but seeing the rebound annoyingly followed up by Burton's Joe Powell in a 1-1 draw. Jochel Andresen upending James Collins, who duly converted the subsequent spot kick as Carlisle fell to a 2-0 home defeat to Derby. That's actually the second time this season that Andresen has been in such a position, and it's the second time Connor Ripley has saved a pen this term out of the three that he has faced. Fajiri Okunibiri, the man to see his effort kept out in the 90th minute as Port Vale took a point home from Cambridge. Joe Wildsmith, a couple more with a clean sheet and competent goalkeeping in that aforementioned Derby win over Carlisle. All the basics done well in that one. And Sol Brin helping Leyton Orient to a 1-0 success over Shrewsbury and celebrating Alan Martinez in style, sticking out a foot to divert Max Matter's effort over the bar.
Yeah, absolutely. We do love a goalkeeping celebration. I feel like the celebrations have increased, actually, over the period of us doing this pod. I don't know if we've had any impact on that we do champion them so much. But yeah, a couple of great performances there, as you mentioned. Great save that Sol Brin made down to his left-hand side. Wanted to mention James Beadle as well. I believe he got man of the match in the game for Oxford. Big win for them. Another win for them, sitting very, very handsomely in the table at the moment. And certainly, they seem to be going from strength to strength, as does he. And Connor Ripley, as you mentioned, great penalty save. I think I wanted to mention him as well, that they've had such a bizarre season. I mean, they're there or thereabouts. They're, you know, fantastic league position. Yet they've still got, I think, a -2 or -3 goal difference because of the beating they took after the first game. I mean, who would have said after that first game they'd be sat where they're sat now? But again, that's huge credit to him, huge credit to them. And I know we spoke about that in the summer, the type of goalkeeper that would go in there and be a real success, and had a feeling that Connor Ripley would be that type of goalkeeper, and certainly seems to be the case so far.
And just labouring on Ripley, since the start of last season, he has faced 12 penalties in the EFL.
And?
He's conceded 5 and saved 7.
Wow. And do you know what? we talk about this a lot because I think when it comes to penalties, and we spoke about some higher profile goalkeepers that maybe struggled a bit, but I think that a lot of this is just character and mentality. Like, because again, what influence can you have on the taker? It's not a case of Connor Ripley being more explosive, more dynamic, more powerful than some of these Premier League lads or whatever it might be. I just think with someone like him, where he's a big personality, he's a big character, big strong boy to be fair, I just think that when he's there, that is such a presence, and you can kind of feel that as a taker, and I've got no doubt that's played a big part in that.
And League Two, where there were two more penalties to speak of. Owen Evans with a save from AFC Wimbledon's Armani Little. The Dons eventually beating Walsall by 3-1, however. And Troy Deeney, a hat-trick for Forest Green Rovers, Richard, at Notts County. Did you see his penalty?
Yeah. Yeah.
And what did he do?
Yeah. And yet it goes in. I'm not going to bring this up again. It baffles me to an extent. It does. It really does. But credit to him. He does hit it so hard. I think even if a goalkeeper stays still, I appreciate you're going to have one hell of a reaction to make the save. Or hopefully it just hits you. Although even if it does hit you, it could hurt you. But yeah, look, he does what he does. It works. I probably need to shut up, don't I?
And to finish on the EFL overview, I thought we'd have a return of this. Yes, Richard, it's GKPI. You've got your long trench coat back on. You've got your trilby on. You are roaming the streets of Doncaster because Lewis Jones, who has been on the periphery of proceedings, I think it's fair to say, at Doncaster for quite some time, he's now in for the injured Ian Lawler. The club, prior to that, were winless in League Two. It's now two wins on the spin with an EFL trophy success sandwiched between. And we thought we would take a closer look and his display in the game with Gillingham on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. First and foremost, you do paint quite a picture of me in my long trench coat roaming the streets. I mean, what am I doing? I watched this game and really, really pleased for Lewis. Really pleased because he had his own injury in pre-season. Bit of a frustrating one. I think he was out for 6 weeks or so and had a really good pre-season up to that point and then unfortunately got the injury. But his chances now come to an injury to Ian Lawler, as you mentioned, that it'll be really interesting to see what happens moving forward because, yeah, certainly Lewis, since he stepped in, has not put a foot wrong. Obviously, they've got some points on the board, and I thought he was excellent in this game. I thought a real blend of everything, some top saves, some really impressive distribution in particular. He's got this sort of way when he's on the ball. He just seems so calm. So he's not like drilling the ball out to fullbacks or drilling them out to the wingers. It's kind of like a flighted ball, but still reasonably low. But the accuracy on this particular day was excellent. Just had one on his left foot that was a bit tricky, that was a bit of a swing. But I thought other than that, I thought it was a pretty faultless performance and a massive win as well against Gillingham. Of course, Gillingham have been flying high until this one. So, yeah, big, big well done to him. And certainly you feel like he's put in a very, very good claim to be the longer term number one. Clean Sheet Club. Well, Matthew, we have flown through that today, and now it's time for this. That's right, it's Clean Sheet Club. Lots of names to mention this week. We start in the Premier League. Sam Johnson, tally double. Bernd Leno, two in a row. Edison, unbeaten. Andre Onana, what's his name? Emi Martinez, on a Mar del Plata. Nick Pope, hat-trick. And into the Championship, John Ruddy, a goalkeeper's buddy. Asmir Begovic, captain fantastic. Ilian Melier, one-off a siren. Mads Hermansson, back-to-back. Carl Rushworth, first line of attack. Alex Palmer, kiddie keeper. Bart Biakowski, back on the board for the first time since New Year's Day. Jack Anik, two from three. Into League One, Joe Wildsmith, on the razor's edge, he trails. Christian Hedgie, shaking it all about. Sol Brin, blanking from Borough to Brisbane. James Beadle, whiter than white. And lastly in League Two, Christy Pym, all the games, Ben Hinchcliffe, big dog, Luke McGee, yippee.
Great finish to that, Richard. I love the enthusiasm. Very good.
Thank you. I've read so many of these now. I feel like I'm finally getting to grasp with it. It's taken a couple of years.
So I did say that we might do the table. We're not going to do that. I'm going to stick to 10 games. We'll do the table after 10 games, okay?
That sounds good to me.
Okay, good stuff, Richard. Well, we have flown through that. This has been something of an abridged Between the Sticks, but we'll be back in full fine fettle next week, won't we, with a more substantial offering, okay?
We will, and I'm looking forward to it.
Good, good. From your new abode, your new dwellings.
Indeed. Well, actually, I will be on my travels next week. We'll discuss this privately, but I am going over to watch a couple of MLS games. Going to watch the LA Galaxy and New England Revolution. So I'm in Seattle and Orlando randomly next week. But we'll figure a way and we will make a longer version. Don't worry about that.
Oh, okay. Quite the jet setter, aren't you, Richard? Look forward to hearing all about that on the next podcast. And before we go from this one, we do want to quickly extend our thoughts to Josh Vickers, the Derby County goalkeeper, who announced on Twitter yesterday the sad and tragic passing of his wife, Laura, from cancer just a few months after they tied the knot too. There was an outpouring of support on Twitter, a really heartfelt message that Josh posted on Instagram too. So naturally, we just want to add to that support and say, Josh, we are very much thinking of you.
Yeah, just to back that up. As you mentioned, it was lovely to see, I think, pretty much every member of the team put a post out, you know, sending their wishes, wishing him the best. So, yeah, massive thoughts from us.
Richard, thank you.
Matthew, thank you. And happy birthday.
Thank you. This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast, Between the Sticks. Keepers
away.